It was the year 1965. The Civil Rights Act had just passed 1 year ago, and this country was torn apart. At a little college in western Texas, a basketball coach started traveling the country to recruit new players. On the streets of New York City, he came across a parking lot with a basketball hoop where he watched some young black men play the game in a way he had never seen before. "Do you want to come to college in Texas?" he asked one of them. "What?" "But I'm black. I don't see color," the coach said. "I see speed, I see skill, I see intelligence on the court. I want you to come down with me to Texas." He recruited a whole team of black players and kept the ones that were already there, who were white. The young men said they felt like they were going to the moon when they got to Texas. Texas Western University started winning. And the more games they won, the more hatred was piled upon them. They would stay in a hotel room and find blood on the walls. One of them had his head pushed into a toilet and he was beaten in a diner bathroom. But they kept on winning. They got to the national championship, and the coach placed all five black players out there in the starting lineup. The whole nation was watching. They gathered in a huddle before the game began, and the coach looked at these players who had been through so much, and he said to them, "They are not going to give you this title. So you got to go out there and you got to take it." And all the young men chanted, "Take it." Then they went out there and creamed them. It's been made into a movie. It's one of my favorite movies. It's called Glory Road, a true story. Glory Road. I want to talk to you this morning about prayer. Jesus talks to us in the gospel about prayer this morning, and it is the most rich gospel. I could do a whole year-long series on the things that he says about prayer in this one passage. But this morning I want to focus with you on these words that Jesus told us. Ask and you will receive. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Now, great theologians throughout the centuries have told us that we cannot understand God. God is too great, too vast, too enormous for our human brains to comprehend. But one of the things that we can do is we can identify what God is not. I want to tell you a couple things that God is not in your prayer lives. Number one, God is not a vending machine. Many of us think if we say a prayer and we ask for something, we should press the button and it should come on out. And if it doesn't show up quickly, well, then God didn't answer. God is not a vending machine. God is also not a waiter. Americans, we are used to asking for what we want because we're consumers, right? We're used to buying, purchasing. We say what we want, someone brings it, right? If you're sitting at a restaurant and you say you want a steak and you have to wait too long, that's bad. But God is not a waiter that delivers our prayers to us in a timely fashion according to our demands. We're talking about the creator of the entire universe here, whose goal is for you and me to grow. Do you all remember the movie Charlie and the Chocolate Factory? There's this little girl in there whose name is Baruka Salt. Baruka Salt, I love that name. She is the most spoiled child I have ever heard of in my life. Her father is very wealthy, and she says, "I want a pony," and he gets her a pony. "I want this," and he gets her that. And every time she asks for something, her father buys it for her, and the girl is stunted and obnoxious. God is also not the father of Baruka Salt. I've been studying a lot about this movement that is so incredible called Al-Anon. It's for relatives and friends of alcoholics or anyone who's addicted, which basically we're all addicted to something and we're all related to someone who's addicted, so all of us could be an Al-Anon. One of the great lessons of Al-Anon is the difference between loving someone and enabling someone. And I've struggled with this a lot in my own life. When we love someone, we want to do everything for them. We want their lives to be easier. If they have a struggle, we want to fix it, right? Especially parents, we just want to fix it for our kids, you know? Do their laundry, do the dishes, do everything they need. But if you do that, it stunts their growth. If you fix all their problems and they don't have to face challenges, then they don't grow. They don't develop. You actually interfere in their development. God is also not an enabler. God is going to answer your prayers, but not by providing you with exactly what you ask for on a silver platter. God is going to answer in a way that is profound and cosmic. Remember, God is the one who created the mountains and the seas. Time is different for God. It may take a decade for you to fully understand God's answer. Jesus tells us that we need to be persistent in our prayers. We need to repeat them again and again. I'm reminded of my cat, who was a stray. She's very fat, and she whines and cries when she wants food. But she is brilliant because she's so much of a pest that I will never refuse her food because I gotta sleep at night. Jesus says, keep on praying to God. Keep on telling God, I'm suffering, I need help, I want help with this, I want help with that. And we don't do it because God doesn't hear us the first time. We do it because if we keep asking, we'll keep listening. God doesn't forget anything you ask, but you might forget that you asked. You might stop listening to the answer that develops in front of you over time. You see, if we pray, we have to listen. If you pray and then keep going about your busy life and don't keep your eyes and ears and heart open, God may be answering and you just completely missed it. There's really not a lot of point in praying if you're not listening. Otherwise, you might as well just bounce a basketball against the wall. If you pray, listen for the answer. God will answer in a way that causes you to grow. God will answer by presenting something to you and helping you be able to take it. Helping you grow in strength and in the full stature of Christ. Pain is not the enemy for God. Pain is a great teacher. And sometimes the answer includes struggle. And only in the fullness of time will we come to understand how God has so beautifully and elegantly called us into the fullness of life. And my friends, there are some questions that I don't believe we can understand the full answer until we come face to face with Christ. There are some questions that are unanswerable in this life. But if you ask, you will receive. It will somehow be presented to you in a way that you can move towards it and grow towards it and reach out and take it. Doors will be opened for you, but you must walk through them on your own two feet. Because God loves you and wants you to grow and change and become everything that you were intended to be. So you go out there and you take it. Amen.